Good morning, everyone, and welcome to ECL Fourth Quarter 2011 Results Conference Call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it is available on the company's website at www.e-cl.cl. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risk and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed notes in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Lode Verdayen. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Lode Verdayen, and I'm the General Manager of ECL. With me today is Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcos Zussoni, our new CFO, who I am pleased to introduce to you. We shall now begin our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the fourth quarter and the full year 2011. Before moving to our fourth quarter results, I'd like to go over some industry highlights. During 2011, four new coal-fired plants with a combined gross capacity of 850 megawatts started commercial operations. These plants include our Central Termoeléctrica Andina and Central Termoeléctrica Hornitos, and the Angamos 1 and 2 units belonging to AES Gener. Angamos 1 commenced commercial operations in April, CTA in July, CTH began on August 5, whereas Angamos 2 started in October. The need to have rotating reserve and the other costs associated with the commissioning of the new unit tests caused an increase in spot prices up to July. However, after that, marginal costs or spot prices began to show a declining trend due to the entrance of the new and more efficient coal power plants into the system. The exception was the month of October, when both scheduled and forced outages of coal-fired plants produced a temporary increase in marginal costs. Demand in the SING increased by 3.4% in 2011 to an equivalent of 1,628 megawatts average, mainly due to the increase in demand from the greenfield mining project Minera Esperanza. Demand fell temporarily in February due to the production problems at some large mining operations, and also in July and August due to weather factors and a labor conflict at Minera Escondida. Although Minera Escondida is not our client, the system's demand declined, affecting spot prices in that period. In the chart provided in the press release, you can note how coal generation advanced from representing about 60% of the system generation in the first quarter of 2011 to 75% in the third quarter. Electricity generated by the new coal plants displaced diesel and fuel oil generation. Generation with Argentine gas, supplied to the SING by the AES Termo Andes plant, which is located in Salta, Argentina, dropped significantly in the winter months. LNG-based generation represented between 20 and 23% of the system's output. As discussed in our previous conference call, LNG is currently supplied to ECL and Gas Atacama by the four large mining companies, which buy the LNG from the LNG terminal in Mejillones at a price equivalent close to diesel. This terminal, owned by GDF Suez and Codelco, began operations in May 2010 with a floating storage unit. Therefore, since mid-2010, ECL and Gas Atacama have been able to run their combined cycles with LNG, generating up to 450 megawatts. This agreement with the mining companies ends in September 2012, whereafter companies can import their own LNG and contract terminal use agreements with LNG Mejillones. When observing generation by company, we note that AES Gener subsidiaries advanced from 30% of total generation in the first quarter to 36% in the fourth quarter, basically due to the contribution of the new Angamos units. Endesa's Celta and Gas Atacama together fell from 23% market share in the first quarter to 17% in the fourth quarter. ECL increased its share from 47% to 51% in the third quarter. However, maintenance works at our new plants and plant outages reduced ECL's participation to the 47% level during the fourth quarter. In these statistics, we consider 100% of the generation of our 60% owned Central Termica Hornitos. We can also note that the total electricity generation in the system increased 7.6% when comparing the second quarter with the first quarter, and subsequently fell 2% in the third quarter because of the Escondida strike and bad weather affecting mining operations. In the fourth quarter, however, the ramp-up of Minera Esperanza and recovery of production levels at the other mines caused generation to increase again by 6.7%. In summary, what were the relevant events that took place during 2011? First, Central Termoeléctrica Andina began commercial operations on July 15 and started supplying Codelco's Gavi and Chuquicamata mines under 20-year power purchase agreements. Central Termoeléctrica Hornitos commenced commercial operations on August 5, and although its 15-year power supply agreement with Minera Esperanza became effective on April the 1st. CTA and CTH are twin coal-fired plants, each with a gross design capacity of 165 megawatts using fluidized bed technology, which, among other characteristics, allows them to burn blends of coal, petcoke, and biomass. On August 25, the company paid an interim dividend of $25 million against 2011 net earnings, in addition to the $100 million dividend paid out in May on account of 2010 earnings. On December 15, ECL acquired all the assets, liabilities, and equity of its subsidiary Electroandina SEA, with the exception of port assets, which remained in that company. CTA and CTH called for payment of the bank performance bonds, securing the obligations of the contractor under the EPC contract. On October 18, 2011, both CTA and CTH received full payment of the requested amounts under these performance bonds from the offshore banks Santander and Bankia. CTA received $49.4 million and CTH $46.1 million. The effect on ECL revenues and EBITDA was approximately $63 million. On December 23, the Antofagasta Regional Environmental Assessment Service unanimously approved the ECL wind farm project in Calama that could require an investment of up to $280 million if approved by the company's board. The project consists of the construction operation of a wind farm with approximately 55 hydro generators, each with an installed capacity of between 1.5 megawatt and 2.3 megawatts, an electric substation and transmission lines. The project itself is located 20 kilometers southeast of Calama. A new administrative regulation proposed by the Comisión Nacional del Medio Ambiente in respect of particulate matter emissions, as well as nitrous oxides, sulfur dioxide, and mercury emissions from thermoelectric power generating plants in Chile, was issued in June 2011. Under the new regulation, existing thermoelectric power plants will have 2.5 years to adapt their installations to meet the new limits for emissions of particulate matter. The deadlines for compliance with the limits related to the other emissions are 4 years for plants located in saturated zones, like Tocopilla, and 5 years for plants located in other areas of the country, such as Mejillones. ECL stock was included in the mid-cap size segment of the MSCI Global Standards indices effective June the 1st. The stock was also incorporated in the Chilean IPSA beginning January 2nd, 2012. I will now comment on our fourth quarter results. In the fourth quarter, net income after taxes amounted to $74.6 million. That is more than 3.7 times higher than the third quarter net earnings and 46% higher than in the fourth quarter of 2010. This was a result of moderate operating improvements, non-recurrent earnings, and a turnaround of foreign exchange translation results. Foreign exchange translation profits amounted to $7.1 million, which contrasts with the $13.5 million loss in the previous quarter. An abrupt appreciation of the US dollar in September affected the US dollar value of some Chilean peso denominated items, such as VAT and client accounts receivables. In the fourth quarter, the exchange rate moved in the opposite direction. We have to mention here that a significant portion of these foreign exchange differences do not represent an actual loss of cash outflows. Financial expense reached $12.1 million, similar to the figure reported in the third quarter. However, it represented a significant increase when compared to the $1.6 million in the fourth quarter of 2010. This increase was explained by the $400 million 144A bond issued in December 2010 and the interest expense related to the CTA project financing, which began to be expensed in July 2011 when the unit became commercially operational. Regarding EBITDA, we must point out that we adopted the EBITDA calculation formula defined by IPR TDF Suez, which differs slightly from the formula used in our previous quarterly press releases. In the fourth quarter, we have calculated EBITDA as operating income before depreciation, amortization, and provisions for uncollectible accounts or reversals of these provisions. EBITDA exhibited an increase both on the quarter-to-quarter basis and when compared to the same quarter the year before. However, the effect of non-recurrent revenues must be taken in account. In both the fourth quarter of 2011 and the fourth quarter of 2010, we reported significant non-recurring revenues. In 2011, ECL recognized $63 million in operating revenue related to CTAs and CTH collection of performance bonds. Additionally, we reached an agreement with the client to resolve a difference in interpretation of the contract tariff, which was accounted for as an $11 million revenue reduction in the second half of 2011. On the other hand, in 2010, ECL reached an agreement with our natural gas provider IPS, which involved a $28 million compensation for past interruptions of gas deliveries from Argentina. After isolating these non-recurring effects, EBITDA would have amounted to $68.3 million in the fourth quarter and $87 million in the third quarter. This represents an $18.7 million drop from the third quarter and a $7.2 million increase as compared to the fourth quarter of 2010, when EBITDA, as adjusted for non-recurring effects, reached $61.1 million. The decline with respect to the third quarter is mostly explained by maintenance works at the new units CTA and CTH, which reported outages of 32 days and 16 days, respectively, during the fourth quarter. Our coal plants, CTM1 and CTM2, were out of service for 8 and 5 days, respectively. At the same time that our units were out of the service, marginal costs in the system increased, causing costs of energy purchases on the spot market to increase accordingly. This also led to a more expensive fuel mix, and while our tariffs are normally indexed to fuel prices, changes to a more expensive fuel mix are in generally not passed through in our contract portfolio. The EBITDA increase with respect to the fourth quarter of 2010 is mainly explained by the contribution of the new units. Revenues increased by 19% during the fourth quarter compared to the third quarter, with a 6% year-on-year increase mainly due to the following factors. First, on the one hand, our average realized monomic price fell by 4% to $139 per megawatt hour due to the startup of the CTA and CTA power supply contracts, which are fully indexed to coal, and the end of other contracts which had tariffs linked to a more expensive fuel mix. On the other hand, physical electricity sales were flat compared to the third quarter due to the end of the Minera Spence contract in July that was compensated for by CTH increased electricity sales to Minera Esperanza, only 60% of which are accounted for in ECL's books. And third, as mentioned earlier, in the fourth quarter, ECL reported $63 million in non-recurrent revenues from the collection of performance bonds in relation with liquidated damages due to the delays in the construction of CTA and CTH. It should be noted that in the fourth quarter of 2010, ECL also reported significant non-recurrent revenues due to a $28 million payment from IPS in compensation for past interruptions in gas deliveries from Argentina. Gross generation decreased by 3% in the fourth quarter due to maintenance works and outages of our coal-fired units. This explains the reduction in coal generation during the quarter, which led to a 9% increase in gas generation, a 62% increase in diesel and fuel oil generation, and a 32% increase in spot purchases compared to the prior quarter. The increase in spot purchases is also explained by the greater availability of coal-fired generation in the system that occasionally displaces our less efficient coal units. WTI prices, to which LNG, diesel, and spot prices are linked, averaged $93.7 per barrel during the fourth quarter of 2011. This represents a 4% increase from the third quarter and a 10% increase from the fourth quarter of 2010. Coal prices, in turn, did not experience important price variations during the period. The higher fuel costs and increased gas and oil generation resulted in a more expensive fuel mix in the fourth quarter. This was evidenced by the increase in fuel costs. The item energy and capacity purchases on the spot market also increased. In summary, the fourth quarter was affected by the temporary unavailability of some of our coal-fired power plants, which caused a reduction in the electricity margin. But this was largely offset by the effect of non-recurrent revenues. Now we will comment on the year-end results. After-tax net income declined by 11% to $178.6 million compared to 2010. EBITDA, however, increased 9% over the same period. The net income decrease is mainly explained by the following factors. First, a $16.3 million increase in interest expense. This was because the interest paid on CTA's project finance ceased to be capitalized at the start of the commercial operation on July 15 and because of the $400 million bond issued in December 2010. Second, in 2011, we reported a small foreign exchange loss, whereas in 2010, we reported foreign exchange gains, affecting before-tax results by almost $17 million. This was explained by the more erratic behavior of the exchange rate in 2011. And third, the income tax rate increased in Chile from 17% to 20%. In 2011, total operating revenues increased by $135.6 million to $1,256.6 million. Sales of energy and capacity increased 12%, explained by a 10% increase in tariffs due to higher fuel prices and a 2% increase in physical sales. Increased demand from Minera Esperanza and Alto Norte offset the end of the contract with Spence. Spot sales increased by $12 million due to final settlement by the SEDEC and the inclusion of CTA and CTH spot sales beginning the third quarter. Other operating revenues increased 22%, largely because CTA and CTH received payments of the performance bonds related to the liquidated damages from the delays in the construction of these plants. These payments caused an increase of $63 million in ECL's operating revenues. In 2010, the company received $43 million from Techpetrol and IPF as compensation for past interruptions in gas deliveries from Argentina. Therefore, non-recurrent revenues increased by $20 million in 2011. During 2011, when not including the commission of CTA and CTH, gross generation declined 7%. Coal generation fell due to the overhaul of Unit 12 and annual maintenance of Unit 15 and CTM2 in the first half of the year, and maintenance of the coal-fired plant CTA and CTH in the second half. However, in terms of its relative weight, coal-fired generation increased from 70% to 74% of ECL's total generation. The entrance of these new coal plants caused a reduction in diesel and fuel oil generation in the system, and gas generation in general remained stable. Total fuel costs increased by 6% or $29 million despite a 7% drop in physical generation. And while our own generation fell by 7% and energy sales increased 2%, we had to increase our purchases on the spot market, which reached 1,009 gigawatt hours, equivalent to 13% of our total energy sales. Other costs of goods sold increased by $28.4 million because of the increase in third-party services, which include maintenance and repairs and operating costs of the new CTA and CTH units. SG&A expenses increased 20%, basically due to greater administrative costs to sustain the company's growth, an early retirement program, and bonuses at the end of the collective labor negotiations. These expenses were also affected by the exchange rate, as they are largely denominated in Chilean pesos. In the fourth quarter, the company decided to set up a provision for uncollectible accounts of $3 million, which is included in other net operating revenues. This compares negatively with the $2 million US dollar reversal of provisions for uncollectible accounts in 2010. Depreciation and amortization expenses increased by $11 million US dollars due to the depreciation of the new coal plants. In sum, in 2011, EBITDA reached $368.3 million US dollars, a 9% increase compared to 2010. When isolating the effect of the non-recurring revenues mentioned earlier, EBITDA would have increased by $21 million US dollar from $295.3 million US dollar in 2010 to $316.3 million US dollar in 2011. ECL has total assets of $2.8 billion US dollar with net fixed assets amounting to $1.8 billion. Capital expenditures amounted to $121 million US dollar during the year 2011, while depreciation was $111 million US dollar. Cash increased by approximately $43.8 million US dollar to $192.6 million US dollar, mainly as a result of the company's strong operating cash flow, which was enhanced by the collection of the performance bonds and the recovery of value-added taxes by CTN CTH in an amount of $73 million US dollar. The main uses of cash were related to capital expenditures of $121 million US dollar, dividend payments of $125 million US dollars, and payments of principal and interest of $76 million US dollars. In July, we repaid a $50 million US dollar loan with Banco Santander. Therefore, our financial debt is now composed of the $400 million US dollar 144A bond with maturity in 2021, and the CTA project finance, which has an outstanding balance of $283 million US dollar and has final maturity in 2025. At year end 2011, our gross debt to EBITDA ratio was 1.9 times, down from 2.1 times in 2010. So, ladies and gentlemen, I've now come to the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are open to any questions you may have.
At this time, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from Mara Bugnesi.
Good morning. Maura Shaughnessy from MFS. A couple of questions. First, can you just talk about what your maintenance schedule is for 2012, and is it typical that you would have a good chunk of your capacity out in the fourth quarter? Second question is, can you discuss what your CapEx is expected to be in 12 and 13, and how much of that is environmental? Third question is the tax rate going from 20% in 11 down to 18.5 in 12? And last question, can you talk about, you mentioned the wind plant getting some of the environmental permits. Where are we in bringing on other new capacity potentially on the coal side? So four questions, sorry.
Yes, thank you very much for your questions. So first of all, on the maintenance schedule, the Unit 16 will have an extended maintenance this year. Actually, it has already started, but that does not directly affect the company since we have the other combined cycle, CTM3, which can replace the generation capacity of Unit 16. Apart from that, there is we have just the normal maintenance schedule of the plants, which means in general that each plant will have an outage period of between 20 and 30 days during the rest of the year.
But is it typically in the fourth quarter that you have that, or is it just happens to be when it is you know, in a year? Is there any seasonality to the maintenance schedule? I guess that's the question.
No, in general, the maintenance schedule is spread out evenly over the year. But
okay.
What happened in 2011 was that since the new units came online in the second part of the year, some of the maintenance of the other units was delayed up to the second part of the year. Yeah, but in general, the maintenance is spread out evenly. So
okay.
2011 was a bit of a particular year.
Okay.
Then the second question on the CAPEX. So our CAPEX program to comply with the new emissions regulations is around $165 million spread over 3 years, so 2012, 2013, 2014. And so we will do these investments on all the existing coal power plants, the unit 12, 13, 14, 15 in Tocopilla, and the unit CTM1 and CTM2 in Mejillones. Apart from that, our CAPEX program is foreseen to do the normal maintenance CAPEX. And if it is decided to start the operation, the construction of new coal power units, then we will have some additional development CAPEX starting in 2012 with the construction of the units in Infrastructura Energética Mejillones.
And what's the maintenance capital?
Excuse me?
What is the maintenance capital number?
Maintenance CAPEX... it's around $50 million a year.
Okay. Okay. And so in we're not assuming any capital to be spent on the wind side in 12.
Well, the wind project is at this moment is a little bit dependent on what the new legislation of the renewable energy will be in Chile. So at this moment, it is our opinion that it is more efficient to do renewable energy projects in the center and the south of the country, so in the SIC system, and the certificates that one gains with these projects in the center and the south are also applicable in the north. So we can buy these certificates to comply with renewable energy requirements in the north. However, there is a draft legislation in the parliament in Chile which would require companies to have at least 10% of the renewable energy requirements coming from their own system. So if this draft legislation comes into is voted upon and becomes law, then we will require to do these investments to have the certificates coming from renewable energy projects in the same system. Yeah. So we are actually preparing a little bit for the future in case that this new legislation would become fact.
Okay, and so until the new legislation is out there, you're not going to make any definitive comments about your own renewable positions? Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. No, I think we won't have a decision upon that in the year 2012. I think that will be decided maybe in 2013 or 2014. But anyhow, we are preparing ourselves, getting ready with the environmental permits. If we need to do the investments, that we can start immediately the construction.
And when is the legislation expected to be passed?
Probably in the course of 2012.
Okay.
So we don't know yet if this is going to be the final version of this legislation. It has been voted in the Senate. It has been approved in the Senate, and it will now up for voting in the lower house, in the lower chamber.
Okay. Great.
Then the fourth question. Now the third question about the tax rate. At this moment, there is no decision taken whether the 20% tax rate will continue. This was a tax rate which was decided upon after the earthquake of last year, and it's now up for the government to decide whether they will extend this tax rate or not in 2012 and later on. So we have no definitive answer on that yet.
Okay. I guess they have to decide sooner than later.
It's
and the last question with regards to some of the new capacity, particularly in on the coal front.
Yes, so as you know, we have environmental permits for two coal plants of 375 megawatts, so together 750 megawatts gross installed capacity, which is called, this project is called Infrastructura Energética Mejillones. And so we have the environmental permits in place, and the marine concessions are nearly ready. And we are discussing with several potential customers in the north of Chile, so mainly new mining projects, in order to be able to sign PPAs with them. And so we expect to take the investment decision during the course of 2012.
And how long, if you were to get those PPAs struck, how long would it take to construct?
I would say around 4 years.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Thanks. Sorry to hog all the questions.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you for your interest.
Your next question is from Rodrigo Mora from Moneda Associates. Asset
Management. Hi, good morning. Mr. Verdeyen, I have a question related to the LNG. Could you please repeat how much LNG equivalent in megawatt will you have available at the end of September, please?
So after the end of September, we have a contract to buy LNG and then to regasify it in the terminal in Mejillones, which would be the equivalent of around 180 megawatts. So the idea of this contract to buy LNG is that it is back-to-back with the requirements of the contract with ML. And so afterwards, in the course of this contract, when the demand with of ML grows because of organic growth, then we will also increase the LNG purchases to always balance the demand with our own LNG generation. No, I was just saying that this would amount to, on average, four LNG cargoes a year in the first 2 years, and then afterwards growing to five LNG cargoes per year.
Okay, so the equivalent is five cargos the next year, and this year around four cargos.
Yeah, so 2013, right? 2014, four cargos, and after that five cargos.
Okay, and in this quarter, how the company is supply the email contract?
So in the fourth quarter, we have one cargo foreseen that is enough to supply the demand, the actual demand of email.
Okay. That's it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your next question is from Christian Zadu from Santander.
Hi, sorry, my question was already answered.
That is efficient.
Christian, your line is open.
No, the question was already answered. Sorry.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Mabel Weber from Bice Inversions.
Hi, this is Mabel Weber from Bice Inversiones. I would like to ask from an update of Monte Redondo. what's that about for that contract, and if you can tell us why the GAV, the CNGA, diminished this trimester, please.
I can comment on Monte Redondo, but I did not understand the last part of your question.
I will need to know why the selling and administrative expenses diminishes this quarter.
So first on Monte Redondo, so we announced in an Hecho Esencial last year that we were starting studies to evaluate Monte Redondo and to bring Monte Redondo under the umbrella of ECL. So Monte Redondo at this moment is has an asset in Coquimbo, which is a wind farm, and is also constructing a hydro plant in Laja. So in the end, it was decided that we would wait until the hydro plant in Laja is in commercial operation before doing the transfer or the sale of these assets to ECL. In general, GDF Suez has indicated that it wants ECL to be the operating arm of GDF Suez in Chile, and so that's why they would like to sell the assets or the company to ECL. In practice, we expect that this will happen in the third quarter of 2012.
Thank you.
Then the second part about the... am I correct when I understand your question that why the SG&A expenses came down in the fourth quarter? Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question. And if you can comment something more about the depreciation, because you changed the asset life, something like that?
Yeah. So, first of all, on the SG&A part, as you know, the SG&A part is always a basket of different kinds of third-party services and costs of administration. So I don't have exactly the correct explanation about this, but I think that part of the lawyer costs related to the bond call and others were came in the third quarter, and so in the fourth quarter we didn't have these costs anymore. Apart from that, I don't know the detail to explain exactly why the cost came down in the fourth quarter. And on the depreciation, so the usual lifetime of certain assets of ECL were extended, yeah, whereby that the depreciation costs came down. Yeah? And detail of that is I think that the lifetime of the Gasoducto Norandino, the Argentinian part, or the Chilean part better, was extended to 2027, yeah, where before it only had a lifetime until 2019. Yeah. And I also think that the useful lifetime of the coal plants were extended to 40 years. And these extensions of lifetimes were, of course, based on expert reports that indicated that indeed doing certain lifetime extension investments, that we can indeed expand the lifetime of these power plants to 40 years. By the way, in the United States, for example, there's a lot of power plants that continue after 75 years, so it's not so extraordinary. Does this answer
yes,
your question?
Thank you. That's good.
Yeah.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. I'm showing there are no questions at this time.
Okay, so thank you everybody for your interest.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.